The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we feel like winners now because we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors, one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. We are joined by Alex Solana, who does a little bit of everything here on the station, a little Dolphins pre. He's got the NBA Cup tonight, which is big. We are big NBA Cup guys here, Solana. We are fired up for that. Heat and Pistons tonight. But first things first, man. Of course, by the way, the Hawk and Crowder show. We got to get to this Dolphin game here, though, man. I got to tell you, it feels good to get a win. I'll be honest. I know, like, you know, losing is probably, in the grand scheme, like, maybe better. But it just feels good to get a win, doesn't it, finally?
Yeah, I mean, we actually can talk about games that have meaning, right, Hollywood?
Yeah.
I mean, here's what would have happened, right, had the Dolphins – and look, the reality is the chances of them making the playoffs are slim. We all know that. But imagine what would have happened had they lost last night. The season would have been over with still seven games remaining on the schedule. And that's no fun. Let's be real. That's no fun. We have to go into every single game talking about what's going to happen in the offseason, Chris Greer's future, Mike McDaniel's future, Tua Tagovailoa's future. Are you trading Tyreek Hill at the end of the season? I mean, that's what we would have done for every single game remaining on the Dolphins' schedule, and they probably would have shut down a couple of their best players, right? I mean, what's the point of playing Tyreek Hill after finding out he has a torn ligament in his wrist had you lost yesterday and dropped to 2-7? So, look, man, like, I don't know if I should be foolish enough to buy into this team again to drink the Kool-Aid after just one win. If they take care of business in their next two games, which seem winnable against Vegas and against New England at home, then all of a sudden you're sitting at 5-6 with an opportunity down the stretch to play the Jets twice. You have to play the Browns. The Dolphins have the second easiest schedule remaining in the NFL the rest of the way. I mean, we should know better, Hollywood, than to drink the Kool-Aid again. We should know better than to believe and buy into this team, but hard not to, honestly, after last night. That was impressive, man. You finally got Javon Holland. You got Zach Sealer with a visor back. You got Kader Kohu back. And to keep the Rams, who are on a three-game winning streak, out of the end zone, it's hard not to buy into them, at least to just have a little bit of hope. But more than anything, you're right. Like, these games at least means something the next 2 weeks, certainly.
Well, I think the main reason you have hope is clearly the team and the offense looks a whole lot better with Tua driving the offense as opposed to one of those practice squad guys you had been rolling out there for a month.
Oh, man.
But I got to tell you, last night, first of all, I don't think Tua played particularly well in that game, and I thought the offense left a lot of points out there. The defense did just about everything to hand the offense that game on a silver platter, and still the offense could not deliver. Yes, you got those Jason Sanders field goals, which were big. But I also got to tell you about Tua. He's got to be smarter, man. He did that interview with Jeff Darlington pregame, and he's talking about being smarter and not getting hurt. And yet he's holding on to the football back there. He's taking shots. He's coughing up the ball. He's lunging at a guy after an interception with his head. Like, what are you doing, man?
Crazy, crazy. I think all of us had the same reaction when you see him make a tackle after the interception where he's leading with his head. I mean, it makes no sense. It really, it's mind-numbing to watch that. But you know what? I will say this, Hollywood, and you're right. He has to take care of the ball. Some of those turnovers, and Mike McDaniel said it at halftime. I don't know if you watched his halftime interview.
I did.
I think it was with Lisa Salters. Yeah. Where he was asked about some of those turnovers, and he said sometimes the best play from Tua is just an incompletion. And I mean, he's right. But this is something that Tua struggled with. Look, he told us, after the Arizona Cardinals game where he fumbled the football three times in that game, that he's a shortstop, right? And that it's a lot harder to catch passes than, all of us sitting down eating chips on our couch understand that it is. And then on the very first play against Buffalo, to fumble the football, like, that was just funny. I mean, after telling us he was a pretty good shortstop, to come out and fumble the ball. But aside from that, I mean, he has to know that once the pocket has collapsed, he's got to go down. Like, trying to extend plays that just have no chance of being extended, it's frustrating to watch that. But Hollywood, yesterday, despite the Dolphins' offense not rolling outside of that first drive, which was unbelievable, I mean, they went down the field, they executed to get Malik Washington into the end zone. Aside from the Dolphins' offense having those turnovers, didn't it look a lot more like last year's offense in the sense that you picked up some big-time third downs? That's been lacking this year from the Miami Dolphins offense throughout the entire season. Obviously, with Skylar Thompson and Snoop Huntley and Tim Boyle, I mean, it was a joke. But even with Tua Tagovailoa, it seemed like last year it didn't matter if it was 3rd-and-13. It didn't matter if it was 3rd-and-6. It didn't matter if it was 3rd-and-17. The Dolphins were finding ways to move the chain somehow, some way. And yesterday, you get that big-time third-down pickup with Raheem Mostert. I think it was 3rd-and-14 on that drive. Tua was able to get out of the pocket, make the right read, and he got Mostert the football despite feeling a ton of pressure to go move the chains. I mean, the Dolphins 2 weeks ago don't make that play. The Dolphins week two against Buffalo don't make that play. To me, that was massive. And then later in that drive, to hit Malik Washington again, Tua under duress, he puts a perfect ball to Malik Washington. Just think about the fact that Tyreek Hill really didn't have a strong showing yesterday. We know he's hurt. He was only able to get a couple targets. I know the touchdown was awesome, but outside of that touchdown, I think he had four catches yesterday. He really didn't make that big of an impact in the football game, but Tua was able to get the ball to Jonnu Smith. He was able to get Waddle involved. He was able to get Malik Washington involved again. Raheem Mostert didn't even take didn't have a carry in the game, Hollywood, but they were able to find him in one of the most crucial parts of the game. That reminded me of last year's Miami Dolphins team in critical spots, being able to pick up those long conversions. If they can keep that up and they can have that type of success on third down, I understand we want to see them get in the end zone more. I'm with you, but I think that goes a long way because ultimately it led to points. And it led to points on crucial drives. That's what this Dolphins team needs. They can't keep punting the ball back late in the game. They got themselves in an opportunity to go win the football game, go put points on the board, and make it a two-score game. And that was the difference in the ball game.
Salon, I do agree with you really quickly that the offense does seem to be, and I think it's more familiarity, that they're starting to understand play calling and understand each other, and they're getting on things. I want to talk about the defense side of the ball. Past two games before this, we've talked about, oh, where's the defense gone? Zach Sealer comes back, and all of a sudden the defense gets right. Is Zach Sealer, in your opinion, that big of a difference on this defense to where maybe he's just the gel that keeps everybody together?
I don't know how you could say otherwise. First of all, if Zach Sealer is going to play that well in a visor, make every other player on the Dolphins front line wear a visor. Everybody. Calais Campbell, Chop Robinson. Maybe that's the difference between Mo Kamara getting on the field or not. Just put a visor on his ass, and he's going to go out there and make an impact. But you saw it yesterday, right? Because the Dolphins, they had one sack in the last three games, and it was a bogus sack that Chop Robinson got against Josh Allen. Like, he didn't even tackle him. He forced him out of bounds. For him to get involved early on, you knew that the Rams had offensive line issues. You had to send pressure at them all game long to keep the Rams, who were on a three-game win streak. I understand their offense wasn't really firing on all cylinders during those three games. They squeaked out that victory versus Seattle. But to be able to get to keep them out of the end zone and the type of pressure that they were getting, think about the interception that Anthony Walker Jr. had. That was tipped because of Calais Campbell. Think about the fact that Zach Sealer was able to get into the backfield multiple times and just make Matt Stafford uncomfortable, and then to have pressure off the edges. Guys, the Dolphins this year have struggled to get sacks. We know that. But also to force takeaways on the defensive side of the football. And that's correlated to not getting pressure. That's correlated to not getting to the quarterback because you couldn't force quarterbacks to stay in the pocket, feel under duress, and make mistakes. And yesterday, you got that. So you're not happy with the offense giving the ball back after a couple turnovers. I realize that. But the fact that the Dolphins were able to just force Matt Stafford to feel uncomfortable all night, you have two opportunities now against two teams that have offensive line issues in the Las Vegas Raiders and the New England Patriots. You have to be able to build on that. You get Javon Holland back. He was making plays yesterday. The sack obviously was huge. Getting Kader Kohou back was massive as well. I thought that was a big showing yesterday. I know there were some key injuries with Kendall Fuller yesterday as well and Kader Kohou, but just the fact that you saw some cohesion and you just saw a different energy from the Dolphins defense yesterday, it's why you won the football game. I'm crediting the offense for picking up key third downs and for moving the chains and kicking those field goals and putting points on the board. But let's not kid ourselves yesterday. The Dolphins offense put the defense in some tough situations, and it was a defense that came up with big plays time and time again. Somebody has to figure out what the hell Calais Campbell's doing to keep his body right, man, because it is insane that at 30-whatever he is, I think 37, 38 years old, he's able to make this type of impact with the Dolphins. It's truly one of the cooler stories in the NFL this season.
Yeah, he's the same age as me, Solana. I can barely make it up the stairs here. Alex Solana with us. I catch him today 2-6 with Hawk and Crowder. And then after that, he'll have the NBA Cup. So I want to just jump into that one real quick. I happen to be a fan of the NBA Cup. I'm big on like whatever, you know, gets guys motivated to play. You know, if the big fat contracts aren't enough motivation, hey, you got the NBA Cup out there. So it's something else to hopefully motivate guys to be, you know, into these regular season games. The Heat right now trying to get back to 500, though, as they continue on the road here. The Pistons are the opponent tonight in the NBA Cup. What are your thoughts on this matchup tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm with you. I'm a fan of the NBA Cup. And when you look at the Heat's group, they're in Group B this year. They have the Milwaukee Bucks, who are a dumpster fire right now. I mean, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the only good thing he's doing is trolling Jaylen Brown on the court because that team can't figure out how to win basketball games. You know the Detroit Pistons are struggling right now, and they've played three close games. They've lost two of those three. They're coming off a loss against Houston. Miami already beat them once at home this season. Look, you cannot, aside from the NBA Cup, you cannot lose the first two games on this road trip the way Miami did. End the three-game losing skid by beating Minnesota the other day, the best win of the season, the first win of the season against a playoff team from a year ago, in that fashion with Nikola Jokic winning it at the end without Jimmy Butler in the game. You can't follow that up by losing to Detroit on the road today. Miami has to be able to stack wins, and if they play defense the way that they did the other night against one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, at the very least, they're going to be in this ball game against Detroit. But I'm with you, Hollywood. Like, give me more meaningful games. That's what we were talking about with the Dolphins. Same goes for the NBA. If it even makes these guys play a little bit harder during a regular season game and makes it matter a little bit more, then sign me the hell up, man. And if Miami can play some meaningful games in Vegas in a couple weeks because they get out of group play, which is very possible. They have the Pacers, who are one of the only teams that aren't below 500 in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if you guys have seen the standings, but two teams above 500, the Cavs are undefeated, crazy. And then the Boston Celtics, we know they're rolling. And then the Pacers, who are 5-5 right now, every other team in the East below 500. Then you have the Raptors and the Bucks, like I mentioned, and Detroit. Miami should be able to either A, beat those teams or at least compete against those teams in the Cup and either be the winner of that group or at least be that one alternate that comes out from the Eastern Conference as well. So you got to go in there, man. Whether or not Jimmy plays tonight, you got to go in there and just beat a team that you know you're supposed to beat. Last year, the Heat, they were 14-1 against the bottom teams in the Eastern Conference. You continue that. You want to see them do better against playoff teams for sure, but you have to keep beating those bad teams in the East.
So I got one more for you, Solana. I was curious, what do you think here? The Cavs, do they – pass the Warriors 2015 team of 73 wins? Do the Cavs win 74 games?
It's crazy, man. I mean, it's legitimately, bro, what they're doing too is crazy because, man, they just have Darius Garland balling and obviously Donovan Mitchell. But it's funny, Hollywood, because like if you and I had done an NBA preview and we talked about Eastern Conference teams that we expect to take a leap this year or be at the top of the East through 15 games, obviously would have had the Celtics, right? But I think everybody would have had the Sixers in that conversation, the Knicks in that conversation. They would have had the Milwaukee Bucks in that conversation. And two of those three teams are total ass right now. And you have Cleveland that looks like the best team in the NBA. They're the first team to start undefeated through 12 games since that Warriors team that went 73-9 a couple of years ago. But the craziest part is, Hollywood, is anybody picking them to win the NBA Finals right now?
No.
Like, really? Is anybody putting money on Cleveland? I bet you can still get really nice odds at them winning the title. And nobody I know is going in the Hard Rock Bet app and putting money on Cleveland to win the title. Maybe we're stupid. Maybe we should buy into it. But nice little run by Cleveland. I don't know. I still don't think they're legitimate title contenders.
They're going to get Max Strus back at some point, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm saying. Yeah.
That might push them over the top. I might have to just get in on that early on the app here.
You might have motivated
me.
As a Dolphins fan, should I be more worried about the Cavaliers and the Chiefs about being the professional undefeated team in the United States going undefeated?
Yeah, all right. If Kansas City beats Buffalo, maybe we should all start worrying. I don't know. Are we rooting for Buffalo this week? Like, I know Larry Zonka has
tough
to
call. Wow.
Root for Buffalo, right? Because he wants to pop champagne. But are we rooting for Buffalo this upcoming Sunday to win?
I don't think we're catching the Bills anyway, so maybe it probably doesn't matter.
That's good. I'm ready for that funky Buddha saison, you know?
Yeah. At least give us one more good thing this year. Let us pop some damn champagne early on, because this is what happens, right? I tweeted this yesterday. I should know better, but I think I'm buying into the Dolphins again. Like, I think last night did it for me. But I know what's going to happen. They're going to lose one of these next two games, and we're all going to be infuriated. Just let me have something else. Let's pop some damn champagne. Let's pop the Funky Buddha Saison and toast to the best thing that ever happened to any of us, which is the Dolphins going undefeated in 1972. I think Dan Day was the only one of us actually alive for that. But
that's true.
Hey, whatever, man. Best year of my life.
All right, Solana, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to catching you 2-6 today. And then you got the Heat broadcast tonight with Jax, so we'll catch you there as well. Thank you for the time, man.
Yeah, man. I hope Joe Rose is enjoying his little nap. He's too what happened? He's too old to wake up early, come into these shows after landing Hollywood. What happened there with the big head?
He's gone soft, man. What can I say?
Yeah, man.
He's gone soft. We missed the old Joe Rose. Thanks, Solana. Appreciate it.
Later, guys.
Always getting shots in, by the way. That's important.
You always got to get shots in.
A parting shot, nothing better than that, man. I love doing those, too.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.